Welcome back to Hometown Radio. I'm Jim Siebert for Dave Congleton, who will be back tomorrow. My guest is Emily Elliott, an employment law attorney here in town. And we were talking about the premise of the show is how to avoid problems with employment law. And it's a subject much larger than just an hour. So we basically just touched on some of the topics. And before the break, Emily was sharing one way to avoid problems is to do your mandated training every 2 years and every year, and with sexual harassment and other things. And obviously I went, or maybe not obviously, but my mind went to, well, my gosh, this is going to cost a lot. I've got to pay these people to be in meetings. I've got to hire a trainer, la da 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 da. And I asked Emily to share, some cost-benefit analysis. This can get expensive if you don't play by the rules.
And that's very true. So I would say, you know, the best way to prevent problems is documentation. And so if you're an employer and you feel that your documentation's not in order and you need to have somebody come in and maybe audit your systems, I would say that is so worth it, because, you know, having a problem down the road where you're not doing things the right way and you don't have this documentation. I mean, these cases can be very expensive. The settlements with former employees can be very expensive. And so it costs a lot less to prevent the problems up front.
So that's a great suggestion. You're sitting here and you're listening to this program and you think, okay, I've got to do this. But I think I'm okay. Yeah, I think we're good. And then you call your brother-in-law who's a co-owner in the company. You go, are we good? Yeah, we're good. No problem. You really don't know if you're good or not. The best thing to do would be to call someone who knows, who's an impartial observer, to look at your systems, to look at your training, and as you say, audit. And give you some suggestions. You need to do this, this, and this, and this to keep yourself out of the hot water.
Right. And even looking at your policies and procedures in, you know, with respect to like the hotbed areas of litigation, like the, you know, missed breaks and the overtime and timekeeping, and having somebody just make sure that you're actually following what your policies and procedures are and documenting. That can keep you out of trouble. I think documentation is something that people don't do enough of, in terms of, especially, you know, if you have an employee who's not really performing that well and you feel like, you know, giving them a poor review is, you know, you're not doing it because you feel like you're being mean or you don't want to criticize someone. I think making, you know, reviewing people accurately can help you down the road. If you want to terminate someone, if they're not performing, then at least you have this paper trail that you've given them, you know, reviews that were honest, and you have something so that when they say, you know, you're terminating them for a discriminatory reason, you can say, no, look, I have all of these performance reviews that show that you were not performing your job and you're an at-will employee, and that's why you were terminated.
So we hear about this term right to work, right, and at-will employment. What do those mean?
So in California, you're presumed to be an at-will employee, which means that you or your employer can terminate you at any time for any reason. And a lot of people think that that's really the way it is. I can just terminate someone at any time for any reason. But the caveat to that is you can't terminate someone for a wrongful reason. So,
which could be
discrimination. It could be, you know, if you're terminating someone because they have a disability, it could be you're terminating someone because they're over the age of 40. I mean, we see people that allege age discrimination after termination. And, you know, a lot of times these people are not employees that are performing as they should.
Okay. So that's something, there's age discrimination, for instance, would be something I think would be difficult to prove.
It is difficult to prove, but it's not difficult to claim. And so what we see
So if it's not difficult to claim, it might be difficult to defend against, right? If you're an employee and somebody says, hey, you fired me because I'm old, how, if I'm an employer and I didn't terminate this person because they were old, I didn't do something nefarious.
Right.
How do I protect myself?
Through documentation, you know, if you're really terminating the person because they are not performing as expected or they're showing up late. You want to have that documentation that you counseled the person, that you wrote them up, that you gave them a performance review that accurately reflected that they're not performing well.
But I hate to do that. I hate to take all the time to do that. And I, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Then they sue you.
They get usually get a demand letter from a plaintiff's attorney that says, you know, this is my client and they were terminated because, you know, they were over the age of 40 and they're demanding, you know, front pay and back pay and whatever their, you know, their demands are. They can be asking for $100,000. They can be asking for, you know, different, it can be a lot of times they ask for punitive damages. And so then, you know, if you can't settle it and the person goes and files a lawsuit, I mean, usually it doesn't get to that point because people generally don't want to go to court.
Right.
They're looking for money. And so, that can be very costly.
And so your advice to your clients who are employers is take the time, pay the expense up front, get the audits, have the training. To save yourself what could be much large, exponentially larger amounts of money on the back end.
Right. Update your handbook. Make sure that, you know, you have the timekeeping, you know, technology or whatever you need to make sure that your employees are clocking in and out for their meal and rest breaks and just take the time to do performance reviews.
Okay. What other than fines? So there's fines, right? If I don't give my employees breaks, I can get fined by the state. Yes.
Well, you generally, if you're not giving employees a meal or rest break, then you owe them a full hour of pay.
Oh, okay.
For every time they miss.
Are there penalties
a meal
on top
or rest
of that?
Break. There are penalties. You know, one penalty that I can think of that people don't know of is, you know, when you terminate someone, if you don't pay them their entire wages on the date of termination in California, then there are waiting time penalties up to 30 days after they can be paid, you know, a day of salary for each day that they're not paid in addition to what they were not paid.
Okay.
So, I mean, that can rack up pretty quickly.
What about this is just off the wall. What if it's all family? What if it's a family business, okay? And that we're all related.
Mm-hmm.
Do these rules apply there as well?
You know, I'd have to look into like whether there are exceptions, but I would say, you know, that there are situations where it is a family business and then for some reason, you know, relationships sour.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we've seen
people come after former and current family members in these situations. Right. So I think it's better to always just treat that person.
So other than the upfront or the actual money expenses, can you speak to what you have experienced in many, many years of employment law, of the benefit or the cost in lost productivity when employers mistreat, you know, employees. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean like Ebenezer Scrooge type mistreating, but just, you know, don't give the breaks. Aren't proactive in this, you know, in this. Do you see evidence of lost productivity, opportunity cost?
I think so. I mean, I think that when you have, you know, morale issues in a business because people aren't being treated well, and then you have all it takes is one person realizing like, hey, we're not getting our breaks. And then you get the employees banding together and it can create a real negative atmosphere and result in lost productivity.
Yeah. Do you have any experience of employers who have seen the light? You know, that maybe they were Simon Legree type, you know, type people, and you know, but maybe have come around and have made some changes in their approach.
I have seen more. What I see more of is people just not knowing about a certain requirement and then learning about it and really trying to make that change. That's what I've seen.
Okay, all right. Let me see. What have I missed, Emily? And I know we could go for hours on this, but we haven't really talked about FMLA and ADA rules. Oh, here's a quick one. What about religious holidays? You know, you know, we are a Judeo-Christian society, but we're expanding, and with diversity training and just knowledge of all the many various different types of faith communities. How does an employer stay on top of that?
Well, if an employee comes to you and requests, you know, a day off for their religious observance of a holiday that may not be Judeo-Christian, as an employer, you have a duty to provide an accommodation for that
person. I've never heard of that crazy religion. What? I mean, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter if somebody requests a day off or you know, the right to wear certain religious apparel to celebrate a certain holiday, or even just in general, you have a duty to accommodate that person as long as it's not causing an undue hardship.
And document, though. You would
and
say
document.
To document that.
Yes.
That document that.
Document the request. Document the efforts that you make to accommodate.
Great. Emily, thank you for braving this and coming to chat with us. Emily Elliott has been our guest for this past hour. She is a partner at
Carmel Nakasha.
Yeah, Carmel Nakasha. Sorry, I've ever written down here, but I was having a senior moment. Specialist in employment law, and appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be seeing you.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Radio on KVEC. I am Jim Siebert and sitting in for Dave Congleton, who I understand will be back tomorrow. He's been on, if you look at his Facebook post, he's been on a really awesome river trip somewhere in Europe. So I'm sure he'll have a lot to talk about when he gets back tomorrow. But always happy to fill in for Dave as long as it's just a day or two. Now and then. It's a tough job, and I wouldn't want to do it every day. But our thanks to Craig Hill, who's pushing the buttons there for us. And let's see, what are we doing today? At 5 o'clock in the last hour, we're going to go behind the scenes of The Bachelor, the very popular television reality show. And we are going to visit with Suzanne Elise Freeman, who was a contestant on The Bachelor in its second season, all the way back in 2002. She was a contestant on The Bachelor. And so we will talk with Suzanne about her experience and even broader, just what kind of goes on behind the scenes when they're not on camera. So that'll be an interesting thing. That's at 5 o'clock this afternoon. At 4 o'clock in the next hour, a local stand-up comedian, improv comedian, and world traveler Leslie Thompson will be here. Leslie, the reason I invited Leslie, we've worked together as improv comics, and I follow her on Facebook, and she has been to Cuba a couple of times over the past couple of years, and I've always just been intrigued with this island nation that we are not allowed to, you know, buy cigars from and all of that stuff. So I'm interested in what it's like to travel and go to Cuba. So Leslie will be here at 4 o'clock to talk with us about her experiences in Cuba, and I believe she's done some African safaris and some other things. So some unusual and exotic locations for travel. That's at 4 o'clock here on Hometown Radio. At 3 o'clock this coming hour, right now, completely different from travel and reality shows, we are going to talk about the business of employment law. And a little history. About 50 years ago, I was one of the youngest people ever to manage a Noggles taco stand down in Southern California. Now, Noggles, if you're a Southern California native, Noggles was the precursor of Del Taco. So there was Noggles, and then there was also the Del Taco chain. Del Taco's bought Noggles, took all of their recipes. Anyway, I was one of the youngest managers ever in the fast food industry at about 19 years old. And I thought I was just hot stuff. I called my dad when I was made a manager, and I called him and I said, how long did it take you to get to, you know, to be a manager? I beat you, you know. And I can't remember what he said. It was probably something smart alecky. Anyway, I had been managing for about 6 months with this company. My store was in La Mirada, California. And I got a phone call from the vice president of operations at the company headquarters in Orange, California. Come down, we need to meet with you. Well, I'm thinking they're going to make me a district manager or something because I'm just, you know, I'm hot stuff. Well, long story short, he brought me in and he fired me. And in doing so, he told me, he says, you know, you're really good with the numbers. You ordering the right amount of beans and meat and cheese and all of that. But he says, as far as managing people goes, is we don't think you should ever manage people again in your whole life. And so, there was a lot I had to learn about managing people. And being an employer, and I've learned, I've watched managers over the years. I've watched good managers. I've watched terrible managers, and I've always been intrigued with the approach to managing people. There is the one approach that says I'm going to do whatever I can, whatever I can get away with. I'm going to treat my people. They should be happy they have a job. And then there's the other approach that says, you know, my people are valuable assets, and I want them to thrive, and as they thrive, my business will thrive. I had one manager, one owner of a radio station I worked for that used to say, "What's good for the goose is good for the gander," which basically meant as long as he was winning, then we would all win. I'm not sure that's the right approach. I would rather have my employees do well, and then as a boss, I will do well. So I thought when Dave invited me, I thought, you know what? I'd like to explore that a little bit on the air. And I have known some of the attorneys at Carmel and Nicasia for quite some time. And so I emailed Zayed Nicasia, who's one of the principals of the firm. I said, hey, do you have someone at your firm who can help us out understanding employment law from a proactive approach? In other words, not what can I get away with as a boss or as a manager, as an employer, but how can I stay ahead of the laws? How can, you know, the laws being what they are, how do I stay ahead of them? How do I proactively stay out of trouble? And Z answered right back, and he says, well, you know, Emily Elliott, one of our associates, you've worked with her in the past, and she's available. I said, oh, my goodness, you betcha. So Emily is here with us. Long introduction. I apologize, but I want to kind of set the stage. Emily Elliott is here. She's a partner or associate?
I'm actually a partner now.
Okay. When we worked, knew each other, you were an associate.
I was an associate.
Okay.
Yep.
A partner at Carmel Nicasio, which is one of the law firms here in town, specializing in employment law.
That's right.
So welcome to Hometown Radio.
Thank you, Jim. And I want to apologize to everyone listening. I'm not the comedian. That's in the next hour. So,
I thought. That,
hopefully, we can add some humor into this discussion. But
I think I would rather my attorney not be a comedian. I think my attorney. I like comedians.
It's probably right.
My attorney, my CPA, my doctor. Those are three. My airline pilot. Yep. Those are people I would like not to be comedians.
That's right, Jim. All right. I agree with you.
So let's dive into this. I mean, we could probably spend multiple hours digging into employment law in California. What are some of the most common areas that people run into trouble?
Well, we see a lot of people receiving demand letters from former employees, current employees for working overtime and not being paid for that overtime, for missing meal and rest breaks that are required if you're a non-exempt employee, for not handling disabilities appropriately, for example, not engaging in the interactive process.
What's that? Interactive?
Well, and that's something we can get into later if we're going to talk about the ADA and the FMLA, but the interactive process, if you're an employer and you become aware because the employee tells you or just from something you observe that one of your employees might have a disability, then you are required to engage in this process, which is called the interactive process. And so it's where you sit down with the employee and you talk about potential accommodations that you could make to allow the person to perform the essential duties of their job, essential functions.
So it's like I noticed that you have difficulty standing for long periods of time. Is there something we could do? Could we get you a bench or something like that?
Right, or a different chair. Sometimes it's equipment. It could be anything up to, sometimes giving someone time off can be a reasonable accommodation.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what the person needs.
So overtime, holidays, break time, they're different for different sized companies too, right?
Well, there are certain laws and certain parts of the labor code that apply to companies that are larger, but that wouldn't apply to companies that are smaller. In California, we do see a lot of the laws applying to even small employers.
Okay.
For example, the FMLA is the federal version of a law that provides protected leave to people if they have a medical need to take a leave. That applies to employers that have 50 or more employees. The California version of that is CFRA. That's the California Family Rights Act. And that applies to employers that have 5 or more employees.
Oh,
so
wow.
The California version is actually kind of stricter. It applies to more.
Do you find that across the board in California? I know with OSHA regulations, for example, there's OSHA and then there's Cal OSHA, which you should have put some kind of an echo on that.
Yes. Yeah, I would say, of all the states, I think California is known for having the most protective laws for employees. So California is very protective of employees. And notoriously has laws that can be difficult for employers to comply with, often because they just don't know what the requirements are.
So you've got overtime, breaks, vacations, that type of thing. Those are, I would think that those are pretty common. People know that there are rules about overtime. I mean, overtime's been around for a long time.
Right. And generally, yes, but I think we still see people that don't know that they need to pay their employees overtime.
Okay.
For example, one thing that I can think of that I've seen a few times is employers thinking that they can have their employees working for 10-hour shifts than 5 8-hour shifts.
Yeah, that sounds pretty common, isn't it?
Right.
4 10s.
Yes, but the caveat is if you're going to have your employees working for 10-hour shifts and you don't want to pay overtime for those last 2 hours
every day
in the 10-hour shift, then you have to have your employees formally adopt an alternative work week schedule, which requires the group of employees that are affected by that schedule to actually receive a notice and then take a formal vote.
Okay.
And then 2/3 of the employee group has to elect to adopt the alternative work
schedule. So it can't just be sitting around the lunch table one day saying, hey guys, it's summertime. Let's do 4 10s for the summer.
Right.
Everybody okay with that?
No. Yeah. You can't do that. Even though probably a lot of employees would like that. If you don't formally adopt it, you can actually have an employee later come back and say that they are owed all that overtime for those 2 hours that they worked every single day.
Wow.
on a 10-hour shift. Okay. But if they do, you know, if your employee group does formally adopt the alternative work week schedule, then they can work 10 hours without being paid overtime.
Okay. So those are pretty common. We're going to take a break. Craig tells me I need to pay some bills here. When we come back, let's look at uncommon things that would surprise people that are in the law. We are talking about employment law on Hometown Radio on News Talk 920 KVEC.
This is Lee Habib, host of Our American Stories. On our next episode, we'll have the story of Abraham Lincoln's only surviving son, Robert Todd Lincoln. Plus, we'll tell the story of why 50s pop sensation Pat Boone released a metal album late in his career after a suggestion in an airport. You won't want to miss the next episode of Our American Stories.
Tonight at 7 on News Talk 920 KVEC.
It seems like all we hear about is artificial intelligence, and while technology can be helpful, when it comes to you or your loved one's next phase in life, working with a local expert in person can make all the difference. I'm Dave Congleton for Senior Living Consultants. Any website can generate a list. You need someone who's actually been there, who really cares, and will stay by your side every step of the way. That's my friend Charmaine Peterson from Senior Living Consultants, the only senior living expert I recommend.
Thanks, Dave. At Senior Living Consultants, we meet with you in person for a thorough evaluation of you or your loved one's social, medical, and financial needs. Next, we will tour all the appropriate communities together until we find the right one. Once we do, and you're ready, we take care of all the medical paperwork. The best part, our service is free. Visit SeniorLivingConsultants.com today or call 805-545-5901. Senior Living Consultants, providing peace of mind since 1997.
The legend continues. Tell me, when will you be the king of romance, Engelbert Humperdinck, the Last Waltz World Tour, performing all his timeless hits. Chumash Casino Resort, Friday, June 28th at 8 p.m. Get tickets now at ChumashCasino.com. There's more at Engelbert.com. One golden voice, 50 iconic years.
There's so much to see in this life's journey, and the view just keeps getting better. But untreated hearing loss can put us at risk for missing out. Stay connected so you can keep doing what you love. Get a hearing health check every year.
Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible until now. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who work to combat human trafficking. It's time to open our eyes. Learn what you can do by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
I said, take it easy, baby. I worked all day and my feet feel just like lead. You got my shirt tail flying all over the place and the sweat popping out of my head. She said, hey, bossa nova, baby, keep on working, for this ain't no time to quit. She said, go, bossa nova, baby, keep on dancing, I'm about to have myself a fit.
Appropriate music bed for a talk about employment law. I'm Jim Siebert, sitting in for Dave Congleton, who will be back tomorrow. Emily Elliott is our guest. She is an attorney here in town specializing in employment law. So we've talked about, we've mentioned overtime, vacations, break time. Most people know about those. They may try to get around them, but most people know about them. What are some odd employment law things that people wouldn't know about that can get them into trouble?
Well, one that I thought of that I've seen also some clients run into is, you know, people don't know that you can't pay any employee a salary and then all of a sudden make them an exempt employee. So in order for someone to be an exempt salaried employee, meaning that they're not subject to overtime and meal and rest breaks, you have to pay them at least twice the minimum wage for a full-time employee.
Okay.
So even if the person's working part-time, you still have to pay them. Their minimum salary has to be $66,560 this year. So if you're paying someone less than that, then they're not really exempt. And so, you know, they can come back and say that, hey, I didn't get my meal and rest break, so I should be compensated for that time. I didn't get overtime because you treated me as an exempt employee and I, you know, worked 50 hours a week. So we've seen that happen. So, and that number, that minimum salary, it increases pretty much every year.
So where's the 66 grand come from? What is
So it's the equivalent of the minimum wage, twice the minimum wage for a full-time employee. So if you calculate whatever twice the current minimum wage is, and then you multiply that out by, you know, the, how many hours.
2,080.
Right.
Right.
And you come up with this year's number, which is the 66,560. Okay. And again, that's going up every year. And in addition to that, even if you're paying someone that much, they still have to meet the duties test. So they have to have exempt duties.
Yeah. Explain that a little bit. So again, the premise of this program is not how to get around the law. It's how to proactively not get into trouble. So what, how do I know if an employee or if an individual is exempt?
So again, so if you want to, so each job that you have someone, you hire someone to perform would fall into one of the wage orders. So the IWC wage orders. So you can actually look those up online. So
IWC.
Yeah. And sorry, I'm not remembering exactly what that stands for, but
is that a state thing or a federal thing? Or
It's a state thing.
Okay.
So you would look up, so for example, they have like, they call it servants. It could be like people that work in your house that are, you know, house.
That's
really not. But they, I think some of the titles are kind of antiquated. But you know, you look up whatever your employee is doing. There'll be a wage order that applies to that, and in there will be you know, certain duties that would be considered exempt duties in certain under certain of the wage orders. So usually in order to be exempt, you have to have like kind of higher level managerial type duties. You can't be.
Somebody told me one time that to, one of the things to be exempt is you have to be able to hire and fire people.
It depends on the wage order. I would say generally, if you have the power to hire and fire people, you probably would be exempt as long as you're also making that minimum salary.
Okay. But that, so you keep going back to that. Minimum salary seems like that's a red flag or a yellow flag or something.
Well, that's like an exact, you know, thing that you can really look at. But I think the gray area is kind of the duties.
Yeah. So, that's one of the rare things that you say people can get into trouble with. And when we come back, we're going to take a break for the news and the traffic and all of that. When we come back, I would like you to share with us, answer this question. Where do I go to learn this stuff if I'm an employer? If I want to stay out of trouble, where do I go? That's coming up on KVEC, News Talk 920, 96.5 FM.
California headline news. Tense moments at a pro-Palestinian protest outside the Tesla factory in Fremont last night. Protesters hit with pepper balls after they tore down police fencing set up around the facility.
The more we protest, the more we show up, the uglier it's going to get. And I just hope that people are ready to come together and stand up to it.
Last night's protest, one of several that happened around the Bay Area yesterday. Meanwhile, USC is canceling its class of 2024 valedictorian commencement speech due to safety concerns that come after pro-Israel groups accused her of making anti-Semitic online posts. And Paris Hilton joined state lawmakers in favor of a bipartisan bill aiming to protect youth placed in treatment facilities licensed by the state.
The Accountability and Children's Treatment Act increases transparency so the public knows what truly happens behind closed doors.
Hilton saying that she was confined and punished for trying to notify her family of alleged abuse when it was happening to her. I'm John Gilliland, and you're listening to California Headline News.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Two lawyers, a teacher, a salesman, and a software engineer. They're among the 7 jurors selected so far in the New York hush money trial of Donald Trump. The former president focusing on the judge, Juan Merchan.
We are going to continue our fight against this judge. We think he's totally conflicted.
The trial resumes on Thursday, a month after House Republicans led a vote to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Members walked the 2 articles against him to the Senate. Senator Bob Menendez may be willing to blame his wife, Nadine, when the New Jersey Democrats' corruption trial begins next month. Israel's war cabinet is still determining how it will respond to Iran's drone and missile attack over the weekend. Chair Jerome Powell says the Fed will probably leave interest rates alone for a while because inflation, he says, still too much of a problem. This is ABC News.
Hi, this is Joe Brittingham of Brittingham Financial Group in Pismo Beach, your independent certified financial planner, where for over 21 years, we've been helping people just like you plan and succeed in retirement. Now, here's today's Wall Street Market Update on KVEC News Talk 920.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks slid going into the close after a strong start to the session. The Dow snapped a 6-day losing streak, rising 64 points. The NASDAQ fell 20. The S&P gave up 10. The markets rose early on some strong earnings reports, including from United Health and Morgan Stanley. Trump Media and Technology wasn't so lucky. Shares continue to fall even after the company announced it would launch a TV platform. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is suggesting what a lot of people have been thinking. The central bank may have to wait a little longer before it can cut a key interest rate. He told a panel discussion that he expects inflation to slow this year, but that it would be appropriate to keep rates where they are now. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee and 5 of his counterparts are telling auto workers across the South that unionizing could put their jobs in jeopardy. Workers at VW's plant in Chattanooga vote this week on representation by the UAW. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
That's your Wall Street Market Update brought to you by Joe Brittingham of Brittingham Financial Group. If you have questions about retirement, give me a call today at 295-6555. Joe Brittingham, certified financial planner and registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC.
At the dental office of Dr. Kerry Ramirez, the foundation of care is based not only on healthy teeth, but also healthy gums. Their highly trained team of hygienists are dedicated to the most up-to-date treatment and care for gum disease, the leading cause of tooth loss. If you notice bleeding when you floss or are not using the best habits when it comes to oral hygiene, their hygiene team can get you back on the road to health. Call Dr. Kerry Ramirez at 549-8483 or request an appointment at slowcoastdentist.com.
We farm about 3,500 acres. There's pipelines everywhere. The contractor working on my property did not have the lines located before he began work, and it resulted on a strike on a natural gas pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse. Calling 811 or visiting clickbeforeyoudig.com in the U.S. only takes minutes to do, and it can save your life.
Years of expertise in general implant and cosmetic dentistry, Dr. Ramirez and her team use a graceful approach to give you the smile of your dreams. So give them a call at 805-549-8483 or visit slowcoastdentist.com and ask for the Dave Congleton new patient special. Now back to Hometown Radio on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
Hi, I'm Jim Siebert, sitting in for Dave Congleton, who will be back tomorrow. Just a reminder that at 4 o'clock, our guest will be Leslie Thompson, talking about her travels to Cuba and other exotic places. And then at 5 o'clock, Suzanne Elise Freeman, a contestant on The Bachelor in the year 2002, so the second season of The Bachelor. And Suzanne has been a friend of mine for years. I just recently learned that she was on The Bachelor, and I begged her to come on and talk about it on the program, so she will be here at 5 o'clock. Right now, we're talking, visiting with local attorney Emily Elliott, who is a partner at Carmel and Nicasia, a law firm here in town. Emily is a specialist in employment law. And before we broke for the news and the weather, et cetera, I asked where people could go to learn about some of these laws that you're telling us about. The whole idea is behind this program is how do we stay proactive in avoiding employment issues. So where do people go? I mean, Emily, I've seen these things in every business has them. There's the wall of rules. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that they put up, the Chamber of Commerce sells them and other people sell them. I'm not sure anyone other than the diehard HR person in the firm or in the company has ever read those things. Is that the only place you can go to learn about these laws, or are there places people can go if they want to keep their butts out of trouble? What do they do?
Well, of course, you can go to your friendly employment law attorney if you have a question about any of these things.
There we go.
And, you know, obviously that person can assist you with your questions, and, you know, updating your handbook is always a good idea. You know, there are resources, and you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce. I know if you're a Chamber of Commerce member, they have a lot of resources online about employment laws, and especially the new employment laws that come out in January every year.
Mm-hmm.
There are other human resources groups that you can join that have
SHRM.
Quite a few. Yes, SHRM is a great one. So that's the Society for Human Resources Management. That's one that I actually often use as well. We're okay. Members. They have model policies.
Yeah, let me interrupt you there. So if your HR professional at your company is a SHRM certified, and they have different various levels of certification, That would be a good resource for this information, because they're updated on a regular basis on the changes in the laws.
Yes, and I don't know a lot about the SHRM certification, but I would say that, you know, if somebody is SHRM certified or if you have access to that, there's really good information and it's updated.
Okay. You also mentioned see your friendly neighborhood employment law attorney. Okay. And I don't want to get you in trouble with other attorneys in town, but it seems to me that this is an area of law that is, there are some specialties here that need, just, how do I put this? Just, and how do I put this? I don't want to, I'll just say run-of-the-mill attorney, and please understand, folks, I'm not disparaging other attorneys, but just an attorney who does, say, maybe just civil law or criminal law, but doesn't specialize in employment law, that can be a problem, can't it?
I would say that there are a lot of traps for the unwary in employment law, and there are a lot of requirements that are kind of overlapping.
Okay.
And that, you know, if you're not someone who regularly practices at employment law and you're not keeping up on all the changes, that you could, you know, easily give someone the wrong advice.
Okay. Okay. And I think any attorney that cares about their client is going to say, hey, I don't understand this area of the law, or I'm not up on this. Let me give Emily a call, or let me give a specialist a call.
Yes. Okay. Ideally, that is what someone would do.
Does that happen? Do you get calls from other
I do.
Other attorneys say, hey, I got a client here that's maybe in trouble.
Absolutely. We get referrals all the time from from lawyers that we know who have a client who's dealing with an employment law matter, and they will call us and ask us to take over. And, you know, we do the same thing. We refer things to other people.
Sure. So one of those situations might be when, and I know you only represent the firm, Carmel and Nicasia, you only represent the business. You don't represent an employee. You won't represent an employee who has a problem with the business.
We do not normally. We have, okay. I can't say that we've never. We have represented a couple of employees, usually someone that we have a relationship with or that's a referral to us. But, you know, as a rule, we really generally represent the employer
or
the defense side.
I'm an employer. I have an employee that comes to me with some serious allegations about a fellow employee, a colleague. What happens? What advice do you give me?
Well, so the first thing that you would do is to see if you have a procedure, policy or procedure. Ideally, you would in a handbook. So, you know, that it sounds to me like it could be a harassment complaint of some sort. Okay. Usually, you know, it's a good idea to have a process that the person follows. Maybe they write a written complaint or they can make an oral complaint. And then generally from there, if you're the employer, you have a duty to investigate.
Okay.
So sometimes companies will do an investigation internally. A lot of times they will actually hire someone on the outside to do an impartial investigation.
So an internal investigation could raise some issues, because then you've got, you know, what if this person is part of the HR department? You know, there's all sorts of things. So you've been involved, I think, in some outside where you come in and do some investigations.
Yes. So that's something that our firm does quite a bit of. We have people that will hire us to come in and do an impartial investigation, and that involves interviewing the person who made the complaint, interviewing the person they are complaining about, and then interviewing anyone who has information that might shed light on the investigation.
Yeah.
Also reviewing documents, reviewing the organization's policies and procedures, and then usually coming up with a report that, you know, kind of has an opinion as to whether a policy violation occurred, and then the employer has to decide where to go with that.
You've mentioned kind of offhand a couple of times employee manuals. I've often just felt that those were, here's the book, sign this page, you know, and hand it back to us. But it seems like you're putting a lot of emphasis on the importance and the content of that employee manual.
Mm-hmm. And the existence of it. We have clients that don't even have an employee handbook. You're in a situation where you've gotten a demand letter and there's potential litigation by a former or current employee, then one of the things that the opposing counsel is going to ask for is your employee handbook. And they're going to want to see whether you have policies and procedures in place and whether you followed them.
Okay, so we're talking how to proactively avoid problems. What advice can you give someone about their employee manual? First of all, have one, I guess is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But it's got to go beyond just have one. You can't just shove it under their nose and say, here, sign the cover page and hand it back.
Mm-hmm.
What would be gold star process for an employer regarding an employee manual?
Well, even beyond the employee manual, if there are important policies and procedures such as, you know, a sexual harassment prevention policy, employers are, you know, beyond having a handbook policy, they're required to provide training to their employees. So every 2 years, you have to provide every employee with 1 hour of sexual harassment and abusive conduct.
Size of the
prevention.
Company?
You know, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Couple of employees.
Yeah, it could be just a very small number of employees. And if you are a supervisor, you have to receive 2 hours of training.
Every two years.
Okay. Every 2 years.
Okay.
So that's important. I would say any policy that's important in the handbook, it's a good idea to be, you know, presenting those to employees. Like, you can hand them out and say, we're just, you know, sending you all a reminder that this is what our, you know, timekeeping policy is. This is what
our harassment policy, our break policy.
You're expected to take your breaks. You're expected to take your meal periods, and you're expected to document those on your time card. And then you'd have the gold standard would be having your employees sign an acknowledgement that they received that reminder and that they read it and understand it.
Okay. So I can hear the thoughts going, oh my gosh, I have to hire somebody to come in and do this training. I have to set aside time. I guess I'm going to have to pay them to come to this meeting when they're not on the floor doing the, you know, the work that I paid. So I hear all that. What's the cost benefit balance here? What have you, obviously you're not going to mention any clients, that's duh, but this can get pretty expensive if you don't follow these rules, right?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Okay, and we'll talk about those ounces of prevention and pounds of cure when we come back after this. You're listening to Hometown Radio on News Talk 920 AM and 96.5 FM, KVEC.
Scott Taylor and Andy Morris with First Look. Thanks for being part of the show today. And today we delved a little bit into shopping habits because it is the season.
It is the season for garage sales and yard sales.
Yeah.
And we wanted to find out if you're planning on having a garage or yard sale this season.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we are either. Thank heaven I got a new dump trailer, and I'm hoping that that will replace the yard sale. How about you? Take the poll. We'll talk tomorrow morning with all the results on First Look.